Hey, it's Wednesday, February 8th. We're still in Texas. The Texas tour is going strong. We're talking about Hertz missing the EV mark. GM going streaming. And check your Valentines.
Check those Valentines. We'll get to it. It's a little dicey out there.
It's been a while since I had to check my Valentine.
Yeah.
But hey, we are just real fired up because we've gotten to spend now 2 days in a row with two different auto groups of different sizes, but both very, very engaged in becoming better.
Man, I'm telling you, like, the questions that auto groups are asking right now, whether like the past 2 days that we've talked to them or others that I'm talking to, the questions that everybody's asking are detailed, dialed in. They're a different variety than I've heard in a long time. Like, there are some really cool things that are going to come out of automotive in this year, I think.
It's troublemakers everywhere.
Full-on troublemakers.
Full-on trouble. You're going to headbang. Trouble comes with friction, but we're excited because people are starting to get unlocked in this industry. And it's something that we hope for, work for every single day. And now we're seeing it at the ground level. And those of you in the Esoto community, you know who you are. But we got a lot more troublemaking to do. Some news to talk about. Hey, what?
Real quick. On the ground level thing.
Yeah.
If you listen to this show and you know some people that are on the ground level.
That's a good reminder.
That aren't maybe tuned in or dialed in to what's happening in auto, or they're not checking out the Esoto world or anything like that. Forward them the email, forward them the podcast, bring some more people in the ecosystem. It is no fun to just like keep all of this amazing auto stuff to yourself.
So
it's not just self-serving. Like, we really want to serve the industry with insights and content and things that might help them progress in their career, share more in the community, all that fun stuff.
Well, the thing is too that when people get in the community, they find each other.
Yeah,
right. Like-minded people are gathering here, so don't leave your friends out. Don't leave the frontline workers out, please, because we know that our audience is largely not frontline workers, right? And they have the most incredible insights if you just take some time to listen. Speaking of listening, that has nothing to do with
nothing
the next
to
story.
Do. And we don't even have a trigger button, so we don't even know you already said it.
But you heard it in your mind. So Hertz and Tesla missed their target for their fleet of EVs in 2022. Basically, it implies the company's fleet has 48,000 Tesla EVs, or less than half of the 100,000 electric cars they decided to order from the automaker by the end of 2022.
That's a lot. I don't know if you caught that number, but that's over half.
I like when they said they only have 48,344.
Right, which is still a large. Like, you think about that.
What does 48,000 Teslas look like?
That's a lot of Teslas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's moving around the country, people able to rent them, but
charging and
missing that 100,000 mark. And like, I think that there's probably a few things at play. There might be some supply chain things. There might be lower demand that's still trying to catch up to the demand of rental cars. I mean, Hertz really made a big play. Tesla saw a 10% jump in their stock price when that was announced that they were going to do 100,000. So I'm wondering how this news might impact both of their. It's interesting.
Hey, Hertz isn't eligible for a credit, are they?
No, I don't. Not commercial.
I wonder what price they locked those Teslas in at.
right.
No, we're not taking delivery. No, I think they just weren't made. They probably got a deal. But again, it's just another step into the kind of the electrification future. Talking to some executives, I'm hearing more doubt than I've ever heard before. Like, people saying, like, I was really in the beginning, and the more I learn and the more I see, the more I doubt. So it will be very interesting, again, from that kind of like executive auto front lines, people that were all for it are starting to question a little bit. Mr. Toyota is sitting back from his chairman of the board seat like, I told you so.
Yeah. Well, speaking of interesting things from the executive staff.
Oh, this is very, very good. Very, very good.
All right. If you haven't seen it yet, you're going to see it come this weekend around the Super Bowl ads. But the ad is already out. GM, Netflix, and Will Ferrell have partnered to come together for an ad in this year's Super Bowl. Is it a 60-second ad?
It felt like 60 seconds. Which is unfortunate.
You can click the link in the show notes. It's linked up there. But basically what they've done is done like a tour with him around shows like Bridgerton, Stranger Things, Army of the Dead, everything that's like the main Netflix stuff, making fun of the fact that they are going to either put in GM EVs yeah. or not put in GM EVs, which was really funny. It was like Bridgestone, probably not a good product place.
Stranger Things, no. It was mildly humorous. We'll probably do a reaction video.
We have to, yeah.
But I mean, I like when Will Ferrell can be involved in the auto industry. I think it's a fun
there
thing.
You go.
But I mean, that's a lot of millions. It's a lot of millions. And I'm gonna be honest with you. The link is in the article in the show notes today. We'll probably do a reaction video. Like I said, the whole time I was trying really hard to, like, I want to laugh out loud.
Yeah, I want this to be so funny.
And probably 30 seconds in, I'm like, I haven't laughed yet. And then by 45 seconds in, I was like,
there's the same. Yep. Okay, here it comes.
It's all right. You can't win them all. But, I mean, people will love it. There's some nostalgia in there. And, like,
I think the fun part of it is, like, they're literally calling out their marketing plans in their marketing.
Yeah, it's very, very tongue-in-cheek.
It's tongue-in-cheek, yeah. It's kind of a fun play on that. So,
all right, speaking of tongue-in-cheek,
yeah, right?
That's a weird transition, so. But it seems like Valentine's Day. It's better than I thought it was.
That was way good. <He's> like, you think the first layer of it, it's like tongue-in-cheek. Okay. Or tongue-in-cheek.
No, we're going to see. I don't know if we've ever laughed this hard on a transition.
Come back from this one.
It seems like Valentine's Day legal drafts and letters to the teacher are now being brought to you by your favorite AI-generated text chatbot, ChatGPT.
Yep.
According to, I don't know where the data came from, but 42% of U.S. men plan to use AI to write a Valentine's note this year, compared to fewer than one-fifth of women.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it was a study done by, actually...
It was in Fast Company.
McAfee, who's well-known as, like, an internet security safety type thing. But they just wanted to kind of see, like, what people are going to be using. It was interesting because, like, 6/7 of the respondents said, hey, I would get highly offended. Or 67% said I'd be highly offended if I knew that that was happening. But, like, way close to half are going to do it anyway.
Yeah, that's going to be an awkward question because you know that love note's going to come across.
They're like,
And the person that got it's going to be like, that's way too good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's like a double insult. Yes, like, this is way too good for you. Did AI write this? And you were like, no. Well, I mean, I prompted it.
Yep.
I told it your name.
Yeah,
so I mean, things are changing. People are using ChatGPT for all types of things.
Yeah, we've talked to people. They're like, I've drafted legal stuff. I've drafted review responses.
Today, somebody said I had him write a letter to the State Department requesting a visa for my in-laws.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And it wrote, like, the perfect legally, you know, accurate visa request.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, someone was like, I had to write an angry letter to a teacher, and everything I typed was real, real mad, so I asked ChatGPT to write it. It's so smart.
And they were like, it was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted to say. So I don't know. I mean, tying that back, right, there are a lot of uses for ChatGPT. It's just seeping into pop culture. It's becoming now a very ingrained part of pop culture very quickly.
Yep.
It's the first piece of software to 100 million users. Fastest ever.
Unbelievable.
Like a lot faster than TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Like 4 years faster, I think it was, or something.
Good
like that.
Grief.
Yeah.
And so Microsoft just announced today, this article's not in here, but Microsoft just released its ChatGPT-driven search on their new Bing, on the new Bing experience that you can get, where they just pop into the AI and they're like, hey, we think this is better than Google search results. Of course, they're going to say that.
Yes.
Because until then, they were like, Microsoft who?
Yeah. Well, so what they're doing is they're aligning, they have like the regular search results, and then right next to it, they got the OpenAI search results, which is kind of like a tuned thing. They're using the API to draw that out. So I think that's a really cool kind of, like, I've noticed that, you know, I mean, I've been saying this a lot to people, is like, hey, search is so often zero click. And that's why, you know, Google presents a lot of information on the homepage or like the search page, because most people actually don't click in search. They're searching for the information, they find it, and they leave. And this is just a way to drive straight to the information a lot quicker. You know, instead of going like the progressive web app way, which is kind of the way Google saw it back 3-4 years ago, this is a lot quicker way to the information. And whether you're writing Valentine's Day legal drafts, letters to teachers, or getting quicker information, hey, it's a part of culture.
And you better be paying attention, because this is going to change the automotive marketing landscape.
It will.
As well. Well, look, Kyle and I have super early flights because apparently that's all we do anymore. So we're going to be at the airport, in the air, back in the office, and doing the whole thing. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. And don't forget what we said at the beginning of the show. If you know someone on the front line, someone who's in sales or fixed ops, please just take a second, share the email with them. Let them know we try to make this podcast for them every single day. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you tomorrow.